Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD, and it is championship week, day number three.
It's 3 in the morning.
It's only 11:30 at night. There's still a few games going on. Regular season games. Great. Come on, we didn't wait till 3 a.m. for this.
Yeah.
But this is our championship week video notebook, day number three. We're still awake, so it must be must not be 2 a.m. yet. But we got David Griggs over there, David Doran Woo-hoo. Below us. Might have one or two more jumping in here, but we want to get going here so we can get done and maybe watch the fourth or fifth or sixth overtime in this BYU Iowa State game after we get off the show.
Yeah.
This is our championship week, Hoops HD championship week video notebook. And we've got a lot to get to here in terms of what's been going on today during the conference tournaments. But given that we are beyond the end of our regular Hoops HD reports, at least for this week, while regular season's going on, I figure Greaves will do a little bit of a little news and notes as well about regular season games if you want.
Yeah.
We don't have to.
Auburn. It's kind of crazy to think that you would go on the road against a ranked team.
I'm sorry. First of all, the puppet is in the butt bunker, but I got a scoreboard coming up here, so there we go.
Yeah. You can let me out of the puppet bunker now.
That's quite all right. You want to start the SEC though? It's in this column over here.
Yeah. I mean, probably the biggest news of the day is down goes number one. Now I don't know. I don't think it changes their place as the overall number one seed because they lost on the road to a ranked team, and that shouldn't be a surprise, but it was kind of a surprise. And Texas A&M, who had kind of gone into a bit of a tailspin with four straight losses and, you know, looked not that good in a few of them, with a major, major home win tonight to bounce back. Texas and Mississippi State paying tribute to the Keystone Cops, especially at the end of regulation, at the end of overtime. Both teams making a myriad of mistakes. That was hilarious.
Well, I mean, Texas inbounding two Mississippi State's players, let them tie the game, was ridiculous. I don't even know this Texas in. I think it keeps them alive.
I would agree with that.
They still got Oklahoma coming up at home. I think they need to win that. Dorman though, Georgia picked up the win in South Carolina. Suddenly this red hot Georgia team, they're huge for the resume, even though it's not against a tournament team.
Huge for the resume. It's a road SEC game win, coming off of a weekend road SEC win again. Yes, Chad, they are getting hot at the right time. I think they are clearly on the right side of the bubble as we sit here today. And a couple other teams lost, so they got some help here and there. So I would feel good if I was a Bulldog fan tonight.
Yeah. Mike Cha joining us as well.
Point out that Georgia did something that Arkansas and Texas didn't do, and that is to win at South Carolina. So that's a huge leg up for Georgia.
Yeah.
A few other notes about these regular season games. Let's work through some of these quickly. Go back to the ACC here. North Carolina, Greg's got a much-needed win at Vatek. To keep their bubble chances alive.
I think the better way of putting it is that they avoided a damaging loss more than they picked up a valuable win, but they were one of many bubble-ish teams that won on the road tonight. Virginia goes to Utah. Utah not a tournament team, but they're going to get credit for that. Utah's pretty good at home. Baylor going to TCU and getting their third true road win of the year. That in and of itself is going to make them a lot better. I don't know if BYU and Iowa State's probably going to be over by sometime tomorrow night, but at the rate of that's still in overtime.
Yeah, as we record this, they're in double overtime in the BYU Iowa State game. Arizona State, Arizona is still in the first half as well. Rocco Miller from Racktier.org also joining us. I tell you, we get a lot more people as we start these shows. Just real quick in the Mountain West games here. Mike, we saw Colorado State and Boise State both, to the extent they might be on the bubble. They did what they needed to do tonight as well.
Yeah, Boise State's in a better shape than Colorado State, but still, both teams did their job. They did what they had to do. I think Colorado State, they're definitely in the picture, but they still need some work to do.
They cheated.
jumping down to the bottom of the screen here, because we were talking to SEC. Rocco, I know you're jumping in with us here, again, talk about some of these regular season games. Not much of the Big East. Creighton beat Seton Hall, but Oregon with a win over Indiana. It would have been huge for Indiana had they found a way to pull it out. They both, well, especially Indiana, should still be safe, though, I would say.
for now, but
For now, for now. Yeah.
they have a huge one. I think it's really important to note this because they have a huge one this weekend at home with Ohio State. And when the teams that have traveled west, their first game back when they're back in the Eastern time zone, they always seem to struggle. It's happened in the ACC. It's happened in the Big Ten. It's horrible timing for Indiana to play that game.
Two more overtimes going on right now, too, in Nebraska, Ohio
Oh.
State in a huge bubble game.
Yeah.
If that ends in a few minutes here, we'll talk about it.
And I got to tell you, this has been one of the most entertaining pillow fights I have seen in a while. This Nebraska Ohio State game.
both teams well over 100 points now.
Yeah.
I thought one of the other interesting things that happened tonight. Well, I mean, Dayton took care, beat St. Louis, came come from behind in the what the Arch
Archbaron Cup.
Baron Cup. Thank you. I
Yeah.
couldn't get to spit it out there. VCU got a much needed win at Duquesne. The American though, Memphis. Wow, did UTSA give them everything they could? Almost picked up a win over them if they'd already beaten North Texas on the season. So hey,
Well,
wow.
I've been saying for the last couple nights that I think the panel is overvaluing Memphis.
And just I threw a couple of the under the radar conferences up there. Akron, continues first place with a win over Toledo, and Central Michigan kept their season alive with that win over Ball State. And down the bottom there, Bryant did clinch the first place in the America East, despite the fact that Vermont did pick up a win as well. A couple under the radar notable games.
North Carolina stays alive as well with the win at Virginia Tech. They are still on life support.
Still on life support, yes.
In Chad, Western
Yes.
Michigan lost on a. They had a final chance to beat Kent State. They lost. Their last game is against Bowling Green. That's going to be a winner to Cleveland, loser out game coming on Friday.
Oh, so
So
Central
de
Michigan is that? Oh,
facto, yeah.
there's still two more teams that could get knocked out. I think Central Michigan still has a path, but it's a very long shot type of path now.
Yeah, I think Bowling Green and Western are both 8-9, so the winner will
Yeah.
be 500.
Yes, winner we'll get in, and we'll see what happens with the rest of them. But
Yeah, exactly.
check out the survival board up there. And in fact, when we check out the survival board down here in a few minutes here, but
Yeah.
let's run to the conference tournament action because that's what we're really here for tonight. And we'll start things out easily. We'll ease into it tonight here with the Horizon League, which was I guess had one decent game in a way, but Rocco, we had two blowouts and a game that went from a blowout one direction to a blowout the other direction. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. No surprises in the Northern Kentucky. And some people thought Green Bay would give Oakland a game because they did go to overtime just a few days ago up in Green Bay. But Oakland, some of these conference tournaments, especially the old master coaches, as Greg Campy definitely qualifies, they save some bullets for the conference tournament, not showing you all their best looks, their best defenses. Oakland is going to bring everything they got. The Green Bay didn't know how to adjust at all. Green Bay also had some weird personnel issues during warmups. Anthony Roy reappeared. Wonders didn't show up. It was awkward out there. But nevertheless, Oakland Milwaukee on Thursday is going to be unbelievable because
It.
Milwaukee's got the athletes and Milwaukee's got the or and Oakland's got the X's and O's.
That should be a fun one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Mike, Northern Kentucky rolled Detroit Mercy. Also, interesting game against Cleveland State on Thursday coming up because Cleveland State has been heading the wrong direction lately.
Yeah, and this is definitely the wrong time to be headed in the wrong direction, especially in the non-major leagues, where if you don't win the whole tournament, you have no chance to make it. So Cleveland State better right the ship right away.
Yeah, they're going to struggle in that game, I think. I mean, they've just been, after looking like they were going to run away from the horizon, they just sort of went into a tailspin at the end. Throughout the year, I don't really see many halftime shows. I know they typically go to the studio and show highlights and do an interview and all that. And the reason is the same reason you all don't. You're flipping around and pulling on other games. I thought the Horizon League halftime shows were phenomenal. They were interviewing the semifinals were in Indianapolis, as we know. And they're like, Indianapolis has hosted some big events. They've had the Final Four, so they're certainly ready for the Horizon League. And I almost fell over because he wasn't saying it with any sort of irony whatsoever. So.
Really, Real quick, the other game here, Dorman. IU Indy had a big lead in the first half. Wright State actually took the lead by halftime and didn't really look back too much. And Jack Dumia, this great stat line, 27 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 assists short of a triple-double in this game.
Yeah, he was on fire. He played great. He got red hot when they started coming back late in the first half. But you're right. It looked like IU Indy was going to be game at least the first 10, 12, 14 minutes. But then Wright State showed why I thought they were the team to beat this conference 6 months ago. That proved to be incredibly incorrect. But Wright State got their stuff together in the second half and cruised on home. And they get Robert Morris now Thursday evening.
No, Morris Robert. Let's use
Sorry.
it correctly.
Yeah.
And don't and I'm with Rocco, that Cleveland State, Northern Kentucky, and the Milwaukee Oakland game. Don't miss the Penguins and the Mastodons. Another great game, 4-5 there. Both playing better basketball as we come down the stretch. Fantastic games Thursday night in the Horizon.
We'll take a quick look at those again tomorrow night when we preview them. But let's jump over to the Patriot League. Rocco, we didn't think these games would be very important because I think we all like Bucknell and American to get out of the quarterfinals, but we had a pair of fun games to watch in this conference at least.
Yeah, I was tapped into Lehigh and Loyola, Maryland. I really didn't know who to pick yesterday when we did our picks, and it ended up being a great game. Loyola, Maryland got off to a great start. Lehigh chipped away all night long and made it I think it was tied with a minute to go, and Loyola, Maryland was able to get a final stop and then ice it at the foul line. So congratulations, Josh Loeffler. It was his first ever postseason game. He's their first year head coach. Gets a win in his first game, and now they get a shot at Bucknell. It's a Bucknell team that they played twice, but they just played last week and they only lost by three. So could be an interesting game between the Greyhounds and the Bisons.
Yeah, and the other game here, this was a great ending in the Lafayette Holy Cross game. Lafayette down
Yeah.
2 points. They get fouled, hits the first three throw, misses the second one, gets the offensive rebound, gets fouled again, makes both free throws, and they win it with an offensive rebound off of a missed free throw, basically, and way too many fouls by Holy Cross. But
Yeah. Oh.
Justin Vanderbeen with 25 points, 11 rebounds, too, for the Leopards. Griggs, they're moving on to play American Thursday.
They are. And sometimes when you've had a really frustrating season, the way Holy Cross has, if you go out there and you play well, but you lose by 8 or 9, it's still rough, but you're not wanting to go outside and headbutt the sidewalk. To come that close to winning your last game and not doing it's just insult to injury almost to commit, yeah, to give up an offensive rebound on a free throw and that being the difference in the game.
Yeah. But again, I mean, hey, Loyola and Lafayette, they are still alive.
Yes.
Mike, they have shots, I guess, on Thursday, but I don't know how good of a
Okay.
shot either one has.
Yeah, not very good.
All right, Chad, if I'm not mistaken, I believe we're getting to the greatest postseason event ever held
Okay.
next.
It is now time to move
Yes.
on, of
Yes.
course,
Here we
to
go.
the
Your
stairway.
way.
2-7.
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
There it is. It is the
What?
stairway time.
We really broke the budget.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. It does look like a stairway.
Well, what's
This
crazy
son of a
about
bitch.
this is that Southern Miss and Louisiana are in a position to win twice as many games as James Madison or South Alabama need to win the tournament and not even get within 2 rounds of them.
Yeah, you can win four games, which is what you normally need to win a conference tournament, and you're in the quarterfinals. But we actually had very entertaining games, Dorman. Let's
Yes,
start
we,
with the first. Let's
yeah.
start with the first one. Let's start with that Southern Miss Coastal Carolina game. Your thoughts on that one?
It was a great game. Coastal was in control most of the way. They had a nice little halftime lead. Southern Miss was down three. With about a minute and a half, and Nafali Alvarez took the ball to the basket as a point guard. He's the smallest player on the Southern Miss team, but he's strong, real strong. Takes the ball to the basket really well. hits a nice little jumper in the lane, cuts it to one, comes back after they missed, hits another shot, posts a guy up, hits another shot. They take the lead. He actually made a mistake and he made a foul and sent Coastal to the free throw line, but they couldn't convert. Southern Miss comes away with a tight, close win after trailing most of the way, and they get Georgia Southern tomorrow night.
Yeah, and Rocco, I mean, Denji Harris has been the man for Southern Miss, double-double average guy. They took him out of the game. They got him to foul out with about 5 minutes left, and yet somehow Southern Miss still wins the game.
And scored in the last 450. Yeah, it was basically right around the same time. Well, they scored, but it was no field goals. They had a couple free throws in there. But, yeah, it was frustrating from a somebody who picked Coastal perspective. But Southern Miss keeps it going for another day, and they're the first team to start climbing the stairway to seven.
Yeah.
So how exciting is that? They've made history. They've made history. So they go down in the books, first ever to take the journey. We'll see how they do against Georgia Southern.
Griggs, in the late game, we have overtime, the Louisiana Monroe game.
Yeah.
Mo El Motaki, I can't even pronounce his last name, 28 points for the Cajuns, but what great game, though.
It really was. There is a little bit of heat to this series, although it didn't really come across, but it really was kind of an exciting game back and forth. You kind of wanted to see Louisiana Monroe pull it off. Their coach, I believe, is retiring. Louisiana's coach and interim coach. So, it was going to be a climactic ending one way or another. But Louisiana getting it done and moving on to the pre quarterfinals.
Mike, what do you think? Can either Southern Miss or Louisiana continue to climb the stairway to seven?
Southern Miss? No, they. No.
Oh,
maybe stairway to two. Stairway to two, but not seven.
But well, how about tomorrow though? Can either one of them win tomorrow's games? That's really the question.
Let's see. Sure. I mean, why not? I mean, that.
Yeah.
9, 12, 10 against 11. I mean, it's not like the higher seeded team is that much better.
Yeah, I think that's just going to be our championship game. It's destiny. It's going to be Louisiana Southern Miss.
It would be an all-timer. It would be.
It would be. I would personally drive down there.
Real quick, as we've been recording this, Ohio State got the double overtime win over Indiana. Keeping their season alive. I'm sorry, over not over Indiana, over Nebraska, keeping their season alive and maybe sending Nebraska to the CBC Crown, whatever that Fox event is. And BYU gets the win at Iowa State. Well, I mean, just an amazing win for them.
Huge.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and that was all the conference tournament games that were played today, but we've got a few more to preview in addition to the Sun Belt ones, and it is. Oh, look at this. Opening round day in the Big South.
Woo-hoo, woo!
Dorman, Gardner Webb, and USC Upstate. Quick preview of this game from you.
let me just make my pick. I'm going with Gardner Webb. These two teams have struggled mightily in the Big South. I don't see the winner getting past a really strong High Point team. I like this High Point squad. They shoot the ball really well. They're really, really well coached. I think the winner of this game is in real trouble Friday night, but I'm going with Gardner Webb tomorrow night.
There are a couple good teams in the upstate, but they're called Clemson.
And Griggs, let's kind of go with the question here. Like when we start every conference tournament, who is going to end up winning this event?
I think it's High Point. I think High Point, not only finished first, but should have done better than what they did. I think their ceiling's even higher than how they played. They've got the most talent, and I think that they actually have a level they can go to that they haven't gone to yet. Asheville was fun to watch. Winthrop had some moments. I mean, you can look at some standout moments from other teams, but I just think overall in a knockout situation, High Point is the best, and Johnson City, Tennessee is Big South Central.
Rocco, do you agree with him? Is this just High Points Conference this year?
I agree with the latter point, but I disagree with Griggs that I think they have found that boiling point. The last four games, they've won by 22, 23, 23, and 22. And that includes a
Yeah.
road win at Winthrop, who's arguably the second best team. They are absolutely finally starting to learn how to extend leads and hammer people. And I think that's important because you don't want to be in tight game situations when you're a team with this much talent. We'll see if they get tested, but they have everything you could ever want with their 1 through 3 with Keza Jiffa, Kamani Hamilton, Demarion Williams, and the big man Bodo Bodo is a high level, like power five level rim protector. So he just won Defensive Player of the Year today. Well deserved. This team is an absolute machine.
Yeah, that was a better way of phrasing it. What I was saying is that they hadn't been at that level for a lot of the year, but they're there now.
Yeah, it took like all year. Yeah, it was
Yeah.
long wait.
It is also quarterfinal round day tomorrow, the Northeast Conference,
Yes.
one of our favorite leagues. All four games
Yes.
simultaneously, so get a couple extra
Oh my
computer
God.
screens
Yeah.
ready. Mike, what do you think? We got Lemoyne at Central Connecticut, Stonehill at Fairleigh Dickinson, Chicago State at LIU, Wagner at St. Francis. Do you see any of the lower seeds winning? Do you see any upsets?
Maybe Stonehill over FDA, but that's a 5-4 matchup. But otherwise, I don't really see that many upsets.
You get your Front Row app downloaded. It is a free download. If you don't have it, I don't know what's wrong with you.
Rocco, he's picking Stonehill. Now, last time Fairleigh Dickinson hosted a Northeast Conference tournament game, they ended up going on to win the conference and then have a little bit of success in the NCAA tournament. What about what Mike said? Is that the only real upset you're seeing tomorrow?
No, I'm more all in on Wagner. They
Okay.
swept St. Francis this year, even though the Wagner had an ugly season as a whole. You guys saw it last year. They're playing a football game on a basketball court. Their style allows them to pull off upsets and just completely change the pace of the game and the physicality and the willingness to go inside. So the Seahawks are going to pack a mean punch no matter if they can score points or not. They probably need to score at least 50 to win these games, but they're the team to watch, the real wild card of the league. And I think with the Fairleigh Dickinson Stonehill, Stonehill should be hungry, but Fairleigh Dickinson, they did sweep the Stoners this year.
The Stoners, we love
Yeah, I am.
it.
I don't have a job for some reason. I just can't seem to hold one. But if I had one, I would quit so I could watch this event. I don't know why I don't have a job.
Unfortunately, I don't think Lemoyne has much shot against Central
Yeah.
Connecticut, which means we're probably not going to end up with Lemoyne Stonehill final, which would give us the little extra qualifier down here that says if both
Yeah.
ineligible teams do reach the finals, the two semifinal losers of this conference would play a third place AQ qualifier game. I don't see it happening.
No.
The only way that happens is if Lemoyne and Stonehill meet in the finals. I think Central Connecticut wins this event. What do you think, Dorman? What do you think? Who wins the event?
This is a tight one. I'm going to take a chance. I'm going to go in with Long Island here.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Long Island. I think the St. Francis Wagner game is going to be real tough, real tight. St. Francis has lost, like Rocco said, lost twice to Wagner, but Wagner beat him twice by 2 points each, one in double overtime and one on the road by two. I usually like the team that's lost tight, contested, to come back and actually win the third. So I think that St. Francis will get him here. But I think they're going to be really tired and beat after that game Saturday in the semis. I like Long Island to take them out and then have a chance in the championship.
Okay. Well, they do get the 2 days off in between each round,
Yes,
so.
Yeah,
Cool.
they get the time off. I don't think it's tight. I think Central Connecticut wins. Oh, I'd forgotten Chicago State in the league this year. Of course, that's who I'm picking.
Mike, you on Central Connecticut? Or are you on an upset?
No, I'm going with Central Connecticut.
I think Central Connecticut might. I think they avoid the first four, maybe even the 16 line. They're having a really good year.
It is also opening round day in the Ohio Valley Conference, Rocco. We've got Tennessee Tech, Tennessee Martin, and Lindenwood-Moorhead State in a game to see who gets to lose on Thursday. A pair of games to see who gets to lose on Thursday.
You think they're that much worse than the three and the four?
I actually don't know, but I don't. I think once we get to Friday, I don't. No, Little Rock. I actually like Little Rock a little bit in this conference, believe it or not. But Tennessee State, I'm not that. I'm a little suspicious of. But go ahead. First of all, your thoughts on the two games tomorrow?
Yeah, so for tomorrow, I would say, I think Lindenwood's probably playing a lot better than Moorhead down the stretch. Moorhead finally snapped a long losing streak. But Lindenwood's new to the party. So we'll see. Moorhead's got all the history. That'll be an interesting matchup there. UT Martin's got all sorts of energy. New staff under Coach Shulman. They've been Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde in this league. Sometimes they rise to the occasion and they can beat the best team, and other times they just lose by 30. So who knows what's going to happen with the Skyhawks. Tennessee Tech's almost equally as inconsistent, and they have a little bit of a rivalry to those two. So I guess in that case, you might as well just pick the upset. Let's take UT Martin and Lindenwood, and we'll see what happens.
All right. And Rocco, who do you think wins this whole thing? Is it SEMO?
I have to take SEMO. Like they
Yeah.
seem the way they played down the stretch, minus that last game. I'm going to give them a mulligan because they had already clinched. They lost to Eastern Illinois really badly.
That was a quite crazy
I
game.
think they've partied. I think they partied really hard after they beat SIUE, because there's actually some heat in that SEMO SIUE rivalry. So if they play again for the finals, that could be a lot of fireworks. But I think SEMO, just seems like they're really connected. They love playing together. I listened to Brad Korn's locker room speech. Very inspiring. This seems like the team of destiny for this league.
Dorman, you with him?
I think this is tight. I think the SEMO Little Rock semifinal, first semifinal Friday nights for the title. I think whoever wins that game beats Edwardsville. I'm going to go with a little upset. I'm taking Little Rock.
Ooh, they're taking the little Roccos, Griggs.
Little Roccos.
I'm going with SEMO.
But Big Rocco doesn't agree with me, so.
I'm going with. I just think that they tore through the league. I mean, they weren't just beating teams; they were beating the top teams in the standings on the road convincingly. And I agree with everything Rocco said. They were just a little bit like not focused for the last game. Maybe just took it off and just sort of blew it off. But I when they're locked in, which they have been for the last 3 or 4 weeks, they've looked, at no point has anybody in the league looked as good as they have.
Mike,
Yeah,
you're on
and I'm.
this. Oh, go ahead, Rocco.
Oh, I just wanted to say, like, down the stretch, Tennessee State's actually played pretty well. 4 of their last 6, they're defending very well, like in terms of taking shots away. They're getting to the foul line like a ton, almost half their possessions. So I think Tennessee State's kind of the wild card of the group. It would be good to see Penny Collins' team finally break through. I would just say keep your eye on them.
Let's jump over here, Mike. Last game for the conference service tomorrow that we have not yet discussed. It is 8-9 day in the Summit League, where a former perennial power, Oral Roberts, has taken out a preseason favorite, Kansas City. I don't think know that anybody really called that to be at the start of the year. This would be our 8-9 game. But any thoughts on this game?
Not particularly. I think at this time I'll pass the buck. I mean, I'm just being honest, so I'm not.
My thoughts are
That's okay.
the
That's
winner
okay.
will
It's
lose
an
to
8-9
Omaha.
game.
Yeah. My thoughts are the winner will lose to Omaha. Kansas City, one of probably the bigger disappointments, at least under the radar wise, in
I would go
college
with Kansas
basketball.
City. I would go with the Kangaroos, but then they'll probably lose to Omaha.
I'll tell. Okay,
And
I'll
this is the
tell
one
you.
where St. Thomas wins and it immediately goes to the next, like
If
it.
St. Thomas wins this event, Omaha gets the automatic bid.
Okay.
So if the chalk holds, it's a meaningless championship game.
Which would be
Yeah.
terrible.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't think that's going to happen. Dorman, here's my
Could
pick,
you
and I'm going to go
go
way,
in
I'm going way off here. This winner of the
my
Kansas City Oral Roberts game, and I think it might be
Hit
Oral Roberts actually,
me.
because they actually started playing a little well the last couple of games.
No
I
way.
think they take down Omaha as well. And Omaha, despite losing the quarterfinal, goes to the NCAA tournament when St. Thomas wins this event. That's my call of this event.
You've lost your mind.
It's crazy enough to
Wow.
happen. We've seen some wild
Yeah,
stuff in the
it's
Summit
happened
League.
before. I
It's
mean,
happened before. I don't see it
I think get
happening.
it with a North Dakota State St. Thomas final, and St. Thomas wins it, and Omaha dances. But your thoughts, Dorman?
I'm going with Omaha. I love the whole story. I love the coach. I don't know if you missed it. There's been a whole thing with garbage cans all year. And after they won, I believe it was Saturday afternoon at home, they brought out a garbage, like another big can. And you thought the coach was going to jump on it or toss it. All of a sudden, like the president jumped out of the trash can on the court. Everyone went crazy. It was funny. I love the whole story. I like the team, Omaha, to win it all.
Rocco, what about you? Are you I think Omaha's been a great story. I agree with him, but this
Well,
conference has such a history of 1-8 upsets. It really does.
no, and this is a perfect. Omaha is honestly a high variance team with how often they depend on outside shooting and jump shooting. They've been getting away with it most of the year. Although the story is great, like Dorman, we're all very entertained by it, and they seem to have a great group. The thing I wanted to comment on first was the Oral Roberts thing. So Russell Springman's only in his second year, but he goes 7-22 this year. Last year, they were very disappointing as well. And there's a lot of whispers around Tulsa that he's possibly coaching for his job in this tournament. Just adds a little juice to your Oral Roberts pick. They might be playing very inspired ball. Otherwise, he could be on the way out. So we'll see. That's another storyline. But for me, I actually think the winner of the 4-5 game. I like them both. South Dakota's played a lot better in the last half of the season, and North Dakota State, we all know with Jackson Mooney and their lethalness and all the teams they beat in the non-conference, beating Santa Clara, beating Butler. You know, there's like four or five of them where they just beat some big time teams. If North Dakota State can get out of this tournament again, another high variance team, they're the team from this league that can go knock somebody off in March Madness. So I think the league
Wow.
wants that. But I also think South Dakota State playing in their backyard, it's going to be a Dakota team because they have such an advantage playing in the Pentagon. And Oscar Clough being the big man, I think they're just going to force feed him this whole tournament, and he's going to play like 36 minutes a game. Give me the Jackrabbits over North Dakota State in a
Really?
classic championship game.
Wow.
The only comment I would have on that, Rocco, I think the most dangerous team in this conference, should they be in the NCAA tournament, is the team that's not allowed to go to the NCAA tournament. That'll be the
Yeah, they are
Tommies.
dangerous. They are
But I think
dangerous.
I did, but North Dakota State might be the second dangerous. I'll be with you there as well.
Also, Johnny Tower. Johnny Tower's name is out there as well to move up to other jobs because he's done such a great job at St. Thomas. So we'll see if that has any impact on how they play.
I guess on that note, that does conclude everything that's going to be going on tomorrow in terms of conference tournaments. There'll be a bunch of regular season games as well. But let's jump over to our survival board. Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
survival.
Okay.
Let's not
All right.
knock them off.
This is our survival board heading into the day. As of last night, I went up, scrolled up too far. There were 329 teams left as a result of today's games. Let's see where we are. 322. We are
Indeed, ticking them off.
going very, very slow in our countdown to 68 here. Something's got to
Yeah,
speed up for a
but
reason.
I don't know. You kind of hate seeing that number get lower and lower. We've eliminated what? About 40 teams.
Yes, we have.
So
And Chad, I want to give a shout out to NJIT, who was already eliminated, but they made a buzzer beater in their final game of the year. I think they will be the only team this offseason to end the year on a buzzer beater win.
And they are going to join. I actually saw the end of the game. They're going to join. There's going to be about half a dozen, maybe eight teams that finish their season on a W.
Yeah,
Most
which is
teams
true.
end
They're
their
going to be
season
one
on a
of them.
loss.
They're going to be one of
NJIT
them.
is one of them.
Yeah.
They're in an exclusive group. We should invite them to the ACH.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
This is a service we do for the selection committee, Griggs, where we tell them, in case they're having trouble figuring out who to pick. We kind of give them some hints here. Let's kind of scroll down and take a look at
Yeah.
through these conferences here. But for example, if the selection committee is sitting around wondering not whether or not they should select Auburn, they did lose today.
Yeah, and
What does this
some
tell them,
committee
Griggs?
members are undoubtedly going to be like, hey, they went on the road and lost. Maybe we shouldn't take Auburn at all. But then they'll come here to see, and they'll be like, oh, well, Hoops
They're in
HD,
blue.
the survival board has them as a lock, so we need to take them.
Right. And now, on the other hand, we also have teams that are listed as auto bid only. That
Yeah.
means, so for example, if a selection committee member comes here thinking about Lamar giving them an at-large bid, what does that tell them?
And they might, I mean, Lamar, they may have won their last game. I can't remember, but it's a committee member would say, hey, look, Lamar, they won their last game. We should select them. But then they'd come here and say, oh, no, we shouldn't do that unless they win the auto bid.
What if a committee member comes here and they say, you know what? How about Northern Illinois? What, maybe we should be discussing them.
Well,
They're not under auto bid only. We could discuss them, right?
right. And you know, there some of these committee members ate a lot of paint chips when they were growing up, and they might think that they need to look at selecting Northern Illinois. And that's why we do this, to help the committee members that ate paint chips growing up so they don't do anything crazy.
But we do leave some stuff for them. If you come here and look at Boise State, says under consideration, that's a team that we allow them to debate.
Like, we'll let them debate and discuss that.
Okay, that's what the
I mean, and
survival
this is
board
just a
is.
valuable resource that they can reference.
And we have confirmed there is internet in the committee room.
Yeah, there is. So they have access. David Warlock has said so.
We've been counting down the top 15 trophies in college athletics. We've had a lot of fun with this. At number 15, we saw earlier this week the wagon wheel. At 14, we saw the old ochre bucket that goes to the champion of the Beehive Conference. Last night, we threw in four more buckets that go to the rest of our mythical conferences, the front range, the back range, the top range, and even the Bill Walton Tribute Tie-Dye Conference of Champions bucket. Number 12, Griggs. I know you've got facts on this one, but let's see what it is.
Yes.
How about that? The Concordia St. Olaf Troll. This is real, folks. Take it
This
away,
is
Griggs.
really, there isn't. I mean, I was researching the facts, and all I could really think of, and do you see this? Because I can't unsee it. This is Sweetums. The trophy is Sweetums from the Muppets. That's who it is. It's Sweetums with a staff.
Pretty much. This is Concordia St. Olaf, one of the D3 schools, I believe. They play for this every year. What else you got? What else you got on it besides it being Sweetums?
Yeah,
Anything?
I mean, they pride themselves on being the ugliest trophy in all the sports, and I'm like, that's too, that what an insult to Sweetums.
But there it is. That is one of the great trophies in college athletics. It's real, folks, I think. I don't know. On that note, let me pull this down here. Let's go to any other final thoughts on anything we saw today or anything else you want to discuss at all. Mike, let me start with you.
I think I think the common person would think, oh, the NCAA tournament's the best 2 weeks, but we all know that it's actually conference championship weeks that are the best time of the year. I mean, not that the NCAA tournament isn't, but definitely I think the conference championship weeks are the best time of the year.
I'm with you, Mike.
Dorman, go ahead. Any
Yeah,
thoughts?
I can't stand the NCAA, this transitional rule to Division I basketball. We just discussed, we saw some brackets tonight where teams in the conferences can't win. You got to wait 3 years in this. Like, it's ridiculous. It's an NCAA rule they came up with, they thought was brilliant. There's no reason for it. The team has played in program, the program has played in Division I basketball all year, sometimes two. They've met all the requirements. They've done everything the NCAA has asked. And if you're in the conference, then let's go. You should be allowed to play in the NCAA tournament if you win the conference. It's a ridiculous rule. It's an outdated rule. The NCAA has some old rules on the books that make zero sense. When I haven't heard one good reason for this yet, ever in years. So I really can't stand the transitional rule. Let them play right away.
I totally agree.
At least it's going down by 1 year come next year. So
No.
down from four to three, but
Should be
it's a
zero.
start. I could see one, but
Wait till you hear the reason, the stated reason. Oh, that'll be my final thought,
okay.
but go to
Let me
some
go. Let
other
me
bit.
go to Rocco first. And just quick note here: there's just a couple minutes left in the game, but Arkansas on the verge of picking up a huge win for them on the road at Vanderbilt. It looks like they pretty much
Huge.
got this game cemented.
Great day for the SEC bubble.
It really was.
Yeah, good
Rocco,
point.
we're back. We're back up to 14 SEC teams.
Oh, no, we're not.
Oh,
Texas is still way out. I don't care if they won at the hump or not.
I
A crazy game. This Texas Oklahoma game could be almost a play-in game at this point.
Oh, I agree. Oh, definitely.
But go ahead,
Yeah, I
Rocco.
still don't think Texas has a path, but maybe that's just me. But anyway, they can at least spoil it for Oklahoma. I think, one team I wanted to mention we didn't get to in the Summit League is the Denver Pioneers. They're the 7 seed. They're playing your St. Thomas Tommies there, Chad. And I just say tread lightly because this team's ended 3-2. They had a hard schedule down the stretch, and they ended with a thump of South Dakota State, the team I'm actually picking, by 16. Jeff Wolbrin, very interestingly, stepped aside. They gave the job to an interim guy, and they've been playing excellent ever since. They have the best defense by far in that short amount of time, the last 6 performances. But they played the Tommies to a 3-point loss. They beat North Dakota, knocked off Oral Roberts by, a nice 11-point win. And they took that North Dakota State team with all that talent and lost in overtime. So I think Denver's got nothing to lose. They'll show up, and it's the interim guy's chance to show what he's got as a head coach on the big stage. I think that'll be a really interesting 7-versus-2 game, Chad.
Okay. I'm still on with the Tommies, though. Griggs, you want to finish the show off?
Yeah, transitional teams playing in conference tournaments. There's a couple of thoughts there. I guess my biggest thing is that first, it's good that they get the chance to play. I understand letting them do that, but if you're a under the radar conference like the Ohio Valley or the Northeast or the Summit or the A-Sun, it's actually happened in the A-Sun. Your signature event of the year, not men's basketball event, your signature event of the year in athletics is that championship game. It's on national television, and the winner goes to the NCAA tournament. Sometimes I think administrators think that it's their signature championship event because it's the conference championship. That's wrong. The reason people watch the OVC championship game isn't because it's the OVC championship game. It's because it's essentially an NCAA tournament play-in game. And if you lose that storyline, your showcase event isn't much of a showcase. And we've seen that happen. I remember in the A-Sun when the ratings were down that year, Bellarmine won it. Jacksonville State got the automatic bid, and all anybody ever said was, "Well, Jack State shouldn't be there," and it almost wasn't fair to them either.
Very
You
nice.
know,
Can I just ask you,
yeah,
because it also didn't it also happen in the Northeast where
Merrimack, it did,
Merrimack beat
yeah,
Fairleigh
yep,
Dickinson, and Fairleigh
yeah, and
Dickinson
then
once
Fairleigh
again was
Dickinson,
awful in that NCAA tournament, weren't
yeah.
they?
Yep.
Yeah, well, okay. So the NEC that particular year ended up with a slightly bigger showcase when Fairleigh Dickinson went on to beat Purdue. But as far as why do we have the transitional team rule, the stated reason is almost laughable. It is the rules for recruiting in Division II are different, and they're not as like they're not as strict. They're way more lax. And it's not fair to the D1 teams to bring in a team that was recruited under D2 rules because it's a disadvantage to the rest of the conference. And let me repeat that. The reason we have this rule is because the D2 rules are more lax, and there's this thinking that anyone transitioning up is at an advantage over teams that are already full-blown D1.
Okay, my mind is blown here for a moment. So, anyhow, yeah, we did. I, you know what? I was with the 1 year thing dormant. I changed my mind. No years at all. I'm with you
Thank
now.
you. Thank
After you told me
you.
that. On that
The
note.
real reason, and we all know it, is that they want to stem the flow of teams transitioning up. But the stated reason is absolutely moronic.
Which made more sense to me is we don't need 30 teams coming in every year. It does get a little ridiculous. But on behalf of David Griggs, David Dorman, Mike Cha, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org. I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night at some ungodly hour for another Championship Week video notebook, and every night from here on out. And we'll be talking to you again real soon.